Just going to enjoy a day of worship together. You know, if the Bible teaches us anything about Advent, it is this, in Jesus Christ's Advent on earth, it's this: Christmas is for everyone. Christmas is for everyone. It's not exclusive to one group of people. And as we look through Luke chapter 2, we see all these different people experiencing God. It's for powerful people. Last week we talked about it's for people who are in crisis. So if you're having a crisis this Christmas, well, Christmas is for you. Welcome to Christmas. It's a gift to you. And today we're going to talk about people who are on the fringe. Christmas is for people who have been marginalized in some way by life. Next week, Pastor Josh is going to talk to us about Christmas being for religious people. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to circle back to the whole idea of Christmas being for everyone, for everyone. So just when you thought you had God figured out, he figures out how to relate to every different person you know. Do you know every person you lock eyes with this holiday season matters to God? Look to the person next to you and just say, "You matter to God, and so do I."
You matter to God, and so do I.
So today we find the shepherds living in the margins. They're not in the mainstream. And the truth is that sometimes all of us find ourselves there. Maybe for most of our life we find ourselves in the mainstream, but there's different times in our life where we feel marginalized. Maybe we don't quite fit in with our family, or maybe we don't make that sports team that we tried out for, or maybe that job, that dream job, we just can't seem to land it, and we don't do the interviews well. Maybe the neighborhood that we moved into, our neighbors who seem so friendly the first week have turned kind of frigid and cold, and the guy comes out constantly, your neighbor, and is marking off the boundary line with a piece of chalk. Whatever it is, there's different times in life all of us feel marginalized. Leon Morris, in his commentary about the book of Luke, he writes this: as a class, shepherds had a bad reputation. The nature of their calling as shepherds kept them from observing the ceremonial law, which meant so much to religious people. You know, shepherds found themselves on the fringe. They were social misfits. In some ways, they just didn't fit in. Socially, they were off, often in the fields for days and weeks at a time, and so they weren't socializing and interacting with the townspeople as much as everybody else was in a village. And so they would be off and then back again, off for a long time and then back again. Their social interaction was very different from everybody else's. They were often referred to as thieves. They often weren't, but because they were, taking care of their sheep and moving them from one pasture land to another, from time to time, the boundaries got a little off. Their sheep went into somebody else's place, fed on some of their crops, and people didn't like it. So they were referred to as thieves. You know, they always keep your sheep in your own place, in your own pen, in your own field. You know, Luke Brubaker told me a story just a couple weeks ago about the sheep that got out and what they got into. They got into the manure pit. You know, sometimes when you're marginalized and you get stuck in life, you end up like a sheep stuck in a manure pit, right? And it took some work for Luke and some friends and some neighbors to get them out. They were also considered religious outcasts. They were not allowed in the temple for worship, because they were with animals and in a place that was considered unclean. They were considered unclean. They weren't able to participate in the Jewish temple worship services. They would not be welcome in this house of worship today if they were here, because they didn't fit. They lived on the fringe. But if you're alert and aware and you study the story, you can see there's actually some benefits to living life on the fringe. There's actually some benefits at time when you feel exiled or you feel marginalized or you feel like the shepherds did. There's some benefits today that we're going to look at. And so when we find ourselves on the outskirts of life, exiled in some way, feeling like we don't fit in the mainstream, there's some benefits. And the first one is this: life on the fringe helps us look up. Life on the fringe gives us a different perspective. It helps us to look up. In the Message version, It's a paraphrase of the New Testament, and I've used some of it this morning just because I wanted us to get a different perspective. I wanted us to be able to read the scriptures and look up a little bit like the shepherds did. It says there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood, and they had set night watches over their sheep, and suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. That is what you're looking for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." Now I want you to think about this for a minute. You're a marginalized person. You live on the outskirts of town. Most of your time is spent in the fields with some sheep and some other sheep herders. And suddenly, a flash mob appears. Remember flash mobs from a couple of years ago? Where, you know, people were walking through the mall and all of a sudden, boom, a whole choir of people stand up, start singing the Hallelujah chorus or whatever. It was kind of like that for these guys, you know? As a matter of fact, if you look closely here, they got the bejeebers scared out of them more than once. There's an angelic being that shows up and starts to speak to them, and light is shining all around them. They're living in it is a dark, physically dark place, right? You know? And it's a physically dark evening, and this angel shows up, and then a whole host of angels show up. So more than once, they are terrified, and the words that are used here in Scripture are they drop to the ground and they cover their heads. When someone is terrified in the culture of that day, they would drop to their knees and they would cover their heads. And then the angel says to them, "Fear not, get up, look up." So our propensity when we're on the margins of life, when we're in the fringes of life, it's what? To look down. To feel overwhelmed. To feel left out. To feel pushed aside. Right? And so they were the same way. But the angel tells them to stand up and to look up and to get a different perspective on what's going on. You know, maybe that's one of the good things about margins of life, is that in the margins of life, we get a different perspective, or we have the ability and we have the advantage to have a different perspective if we look up and get God's perspective on life. Because sometimes when we're in the mainstream, we're just moving. You know, they're in Bethlehem, lots of people are what? They're getting called back for the census, lots of people moving in, moving around, lots of things happening. And when you're in a big crowd and things are moving around, it's like being in a mall at Christmas time and everything's moving and you don't even know where Macy's is, right? You're trying to get to Macy's, and you're like, "Where is that store? Why don't they have an app for my phone that gives me a mall map and shows me where I am and how to get to Macy's," right? That's kind of like these guys. If they were in the town, they wouldn't have been able to see and experience a greater panoramic view of what God is doing that first Christmas. They're able to look up. There's an advantage to being someone who's on the fringe. So if you feel like you're in the fringe today, there's an advantage to that. Look up. God has something to say to you. It's interesting how instinctively different people in the Christmas story, we see Mary, we see Zechariah, we see the shepherds, they all respond how when they encounter an angelic being? In fear. In fear. Now, like, when's the last time a shining angel showed up to you? Right? Maybe I should have asked that question a week or two ago and got you up here if you're one of those people who had to tell us about that. That it would be a pretty scary experience, right? Also, I think there's something deeper than that. I think that intrinsically, human beings know that there is a holy God. And that when our unholiness comes in contact with his holiness, there's something to be afraid of. There's something to be revered. When our unholiness comes into contact with a holy God, there's something in us that wants to cover our head and go to our knees and say, I'm like Isaiah, I'm unholy, and I live in a land of people that are unholy. And you are a holy, holy, holy God. You are whole in every way. So there's part of us that I think that that's actually an appropriate response to a holy God to say, I'm not holy. But then the angel comes and speaks to them and to us and says, fear not, I'm sending my son who is holy, holy, holy. He'll come to a cradle. He'll live a sinless life. He'll go to the cross. And that's what will make you holy in my presence. Your faith in him. I had a friend who used to put it this way. He started coming to the church that we had started up in Mechanicsburg. His daughter came, and she came to faith, and so he came to see her baptism and came to her baptism class, and he would say it to this way to me. He would walk out the door, and he would say to me with kind of a laugh and a smile on his face, well, you know I'm part of the unclean, right? You know I'm part of the unclean. He had sang in a very popular rock band in South Central Pennsylvania called Poison. He was one of the main singers and guitar players for Poison for a number of years. And so Alan thought he could get away with that and kind of push, but that just intrigued me. To have many cups of coffee and conversations with him until God spoke to him, fear not, I don't fear your brokenness, your unholiness. I've brought a sacrifice, a substitute for you. You know, Alan came to faith in Christ. You know what, Alan? You know where he plays the guitar now? He still plays in clubs. But most time he plays in churches and leads worship and encourages other people who feel unclean to come to Jesus.
So good.
And experience his goodness and his grace and his love. To be sobered by the fact that, yes, I'm sinful. And without a sinless sacrifice, I'm lost. But that's the goodness of Christmas. Is that when we feel like we're marginalized and we're lost, God didn't come to the mainstream. He came to a manger. He came to a place that was on the outskirts of town. And he came right to where they were and where we are. You know, God brings a little shock and awe at times in our life to get our attention, doesn't he? There are times in our life where we go, wow, outside of Jesus, I'm toast before a holy God. Right? It's true. But when Jesus covers us, and Jesus atones for us, and Jesus steps in for us, and Jesus takes our hand and then puts it in the hand of the Father, we're fine. We're good. Because he's the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. And that's the good news of Christmas time. Once we bow our head and close our eyes and accept him as our Savior, our only way to respond to him again is when we open our eyes is, wow. Wow. God is here among us. Perhaps it's the goodness of this holiday that God helps people on the fringes get a hold of a picture of the grander epic that's going on, that the people that are just in the hustle and bustle of the holiday miss it. They miss it. And so if you feel a little pushed aside this holiday season, accept it as a gift. Take the time, get the perspective, look up. The second thing that I see them do is, and it helps us, is life on the fringe helps us follow up. It helps us follow up. It says that after they hear this, they have this interaction with God. God quells their fear and speaks to them. It says the angelic choir withdrew into heaven, and the sheepherders talked it over. They said, let's go to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. And they left running. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. Let's just say that together. Seeing was believing. So they followed up. They went. They didn't hear about it and then make up a bunch of excuses about, well, we won't be accepted there. You know, we're not supposed to go back there. We're supposed to be out here watching these sheep at night. It's not a good night to be going back in there. The census has been called. What if they count us more than once in the census and double tax us? Because we know what the census was all about, right? Getting more tax money for the coffers of the government. Still about that. Amen? Forgive me if you work for the U.S. government this morning. And so they could have been fearful about going back there again. What if they're going to try to collect more, get more from us? Let's just stay out here. Let's just stay on the fringe. Let's not go back in. Let's not follow up. But they went to Bethlehem as fast as they could. I want you to consider this. He didn't send them to the temple. He didn't send them to the synagogue. Where did God send them? To see the newborn king. A place that was common to them. A place that was known to them. A place where they had probably taken their sheep in and out of hundreds of times. To a barn, to a cattle stall, to a common place. They knew how to get there and they knew how to get back and they knew every nook and cranny of that place. Most possibly. And so God sends them again to a place that is on the fringe. It's as if God was saying to people who are on the fringe, you won't find him, that is Jesus, in the temple and its courts. You'll find him in a place well known to you, in a barn stall, in a brown paper wrapper. I've sent him to where you are.
So good.
That's the goodness of the fringe, because when you're in the fringe, you realize there is a good God, and he's sending Jesus and the Holy Spirit to me right where I am today. Right where I am. So if you're feeling a bit dislocated in your soul this holiday season, you're in a good place. God wants to meet you right where you are. Do you know where most people fail in life? They fail in the follow-up. Most people fail in follow-up. The shepherds didn't. They didn't fail in there, but most of us fail in follow-up. Some of you know this. I serve as a coach, too, to churches and church groups, to church leadership. I also serve as a coach to individuals. I do something called executive coaching, which just means you're doing one-on-one coaching with one of the top-tier leaders in the organization. Now, I do that mostly with non-for-profits and pastors and missionary types, that kind of thing, okay? But here's what I've noticed, that people that I'm coaching fail in the follow-up. We'll do a coaching session, and in a coaching session, I'm supposed to listen well, I'm supposed to ask good questions, I'm supposed to guide a process, and then help them arrive at 2 to 3, maybe 4 at the most, action steps that they want to do to navigate change or to make something different in their life. And so we get there and they do that and they write that down. And I actually spend probably about a good 70% of my work in just following up with them. As we're sitting there, I write a follow-up report. This is a summary of what we talked about. These are some of the resources that you could use, and here are your action steps. And this is the next time we're going to meet. It's going to be on this date, and I set that up with them, and I send it out to them that same day. And guess what happens? They're successful. They follow up because they had the direction they needed to follow up. But most of us will look up to God. We start this relationship with God, but we forget to follow up. We forget to do what's next. We forget to listen to the Holy Spirit and what he has for us during this holiday season. On January 1st, a number of us will make well-intended resolutions And over 90% of us, according to research, will not follow up. Why? Because we just go back into that same pattern. The shepherds could have went back into the same pattern. Same pattern of thinking. We're outcasts. God's not concerned with us, but something changed that day and that night. And then they followed up. And they went to see. And seeing was what? Believing. They believed. They put their faith in God. And they were different. And they were changed people. Even continuing in some ways to live their life on the margin. So life is a journey. In this holiday season, I'm asking you, are you going to take the next step? Are you going to follow up? You're going to hear messages over the holiday season. You're going to hear songs. You're going to be inspired. If you stay for the second hour, you're going to hear hymns that inspire you and take you back to a place of maybe fresh faith in your life. Will you follow up?
Right.
Will you take the time to get into God's Word and read through the Gospel of Luke and say, Holy Spirit, put me in the story.
Good word.
Write me in here. I'm going to spend some time with you each day, Lord, before anybody else gets up. I'll get up and make that cup of coffee, and I'll break my Bible open, and I'll read it, and I'll say, Holy Spirit, make yourself real to me. Maybe you're not a morning person. You're a nighttime person. So you just say, hey, everyone else goes to bed. I'm going to grab a caffeine-free Coca-Cola so that after you read, you can go to sleep. And you read God's Word, and you say, Holy Spirit, put me in the picture. Write me in the story. As I sleep tonight, may all my dreams and visions be from you. In the middle of your day, when you stop to get something to eat, will you peel into God's presence this hot? Will you follow up? Will you follow up? I encourage you to do it. You won't be disappointed. God will meet you in the fringes of life. And he will help you walk with him. He'll be an encouragement to you and a savior for you. It says they left running and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And for them, seeing was believing. Are you running after God this holiday season? Do it. Run after him. Life on the fringe, number three. It helps you speak up. It helps you speak up. It says in Scripture, they told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. And the sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying, praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way that they had been told. Their inner world turned into an outward expression of joy. These were people that the vast majority of people were not impressed by any message that came from a shepherd. It would kind of be like today, if you were driving down into Lancaster City and the homeless person who was standing there with his cardboard sign placard at the street light stepped out, you rolled down the window, and they started to preach a message to you about God. What do you think? Here's a five spot. You're a little crazy. I'm moving on with life, right? You don't take what they say too seriously. It would have been about the same thing. But it says here that everyone was impressed. So what happened? The Holy Spirit was on them. The glory of the Lord had been around them and had changed them. And so they're telling people, you got to meet this newborn king. I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And so they go and they run and they experience and then they speak up. They become the angelic choir. Notice at the beginning of the passage, there's this angelic choir singing. They're the ones jumping, singing, dancing for joy. They're the ones getting the word out there about the newborn king. Last night I was on Facebook and I was toggling through there and I saw a friend of mine who's a pastor out in the Midwest and they were having a big musical in their church and two or three shows of the musical last night that ends with the story or the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Huge cast and choir, band, you know, backing the whole thing up. It was, the whole thing, you know. I'm just sitting there, Go Tell It on the Mountain. That's awesome. This new rendition of Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's awesome. Who doesn't like the song Go Tell It on the Mountain at Christmas time? Right? But how many of us go tell it on the mountain? How many of us are exuberant with joy during the holiday season? So people say, what's up with you? Everybody else is down, dooby-doo, down, down, because we got to go shopping out there. And now we go shopping right here, right? Click, click. If these guys were exuberant, they were telling the story. They were like Mount Joy Mennonite Church, enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing their neighbors. Doesn't that sound like these guys right here? They were enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing their neighbors. Not a better thing to do than the holiday season, but those three disciplines of a spiritual life, of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend Jonathan Weibel of Front Yard Mission, he wrote a book called Front Yard Mission. He leads a ministry called Front Yard Mission. He says it this way. Pray first, love all, invite often.
Love it.
Pray first, love all, invite often. Right? And his goal is to help people develop this kind of love your neighbor, love God, and love your neighbor movement across the United States, starting in State College, Pennsylvania, where he lives at. So, in just a few weeks, we're going to hold a Christmas Eve service. And the goal of Christmas Eve service is simple. We set the table. We prepare God's living room so that whether you are a believer or a seeker of God, you can come into this place with the people of this place and experience the wonder of God.
Right.
Who has visited the earth and saved the world through his son, Jesus Christ. So I would urge you, pray first, love all, invite often. Take that little invitation that's by the door and pick it up. Pray over some people. Take a Sharpie and write a little invitation. Love to have you with me on Christmas Eve. I'll sit with you. Just a little note. Give it to the person. Invite them to come. You never know. You know that a survey was done a couple years ago of people who don't go to church. That was one of the first questions. Do you go to church? And the people that said they don't go to church got to fill out the rest of the survey. The people that did go to church weren't welcome to fill out the rest of the survey. They said, we're just looking for people that don't go to church. So when they were talking to these folks, a couple hundred thousand of them, they asked them a number of questions, and they said, when would you, if you were invited to church, when would you come to church? And they expected to hear, when someone died in my family, and some of those were the responses. But the biggest responses were, I would come at Christmas and Easter if someone invited me. And then they asked them, has anybody invited you in the last 5 years to a Christmas or Easter service? And they said, no. So many times, people are lacking an encounter with the living God that we're experiencing. And we're what? We're enjoying Him. We're loving each other and blessing our neighbors. And they just need a taste of that. But they need a prayer. They need someone to love them. And they need someone to invite them and sit with them.
That's right.
During that service. So I encourage you. Be like the shepherds. Be like the guys that were living on the fringe. Let that word come to you so you look up. Let that word come to you so you follow up. Let that word come to you so you speak out. So that you go tell it on the mountains everywhere Jesus Christ is born. William Barclay said this in his commentary. It was to simple men of the fields that God's message first came. It was to simple men of the fields that God's message first came. The fringe gives us this opportunity to look up, to follow up, and to speak out. And as we close with this prayer together, I want us just to think about that. To think about God's giving us the opportunity this holiday season to look up, to follow up and experience Him, and to speak out about His goodness and love. Let's read this closing prayer together, starting with Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, thanks for coming to the fringes of our lives and finding us. Thank you for the invitation to come to you just as we are, but not to stay that way. For you came to pay the price for our wayward wandering and help us to become transformed into wholehearted worshipers. Thank you for coming to both the cradle and the cross. Thank you for making Christmas for everyone, for all of us. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joel, for that message. One of the notes you said at the